Today on Real Radio.
O Bethlehem, though you are little among the cities of Judah, though or out of you shall he come forth to me who will be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, even eternally. Bethlehem was to give birth to a son who came out from God, who has never had a beginning or an end. He's eternal. That's exactly what Isaiah 9:6 tells us, that Jesus Christ is the eternal God. Do you see this? The importance of this?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch, Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament narrative of Ruth. We've been looking at the final chapter of this four-chapter account of how Ruth and Boaz meet and fall in love and are eventually wed. Today's study focuses on the last 10 verses in a study called Together at Last. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Watch this. Here's where the fun begins. Verses 17, down to 22 speaks of the blessings that redemption brings, and that is eternal assurance. What? That's right. You ever notice when you go through the book of Chronicles, all these names that drive you nuts? What about even when you pick up the book of Matthew, don't you almost kind of skip the first like 18 to 20 verses? We're lazy. I'm going to start reading the name Matthew chapter 2. Why do we do this? Why did God insert them? Why is there a genealogy in Matthew presents Jesus as the king? And by the way, the genealogy leads him through the kingship of the tribe of Judah. Hint, hint. Then Mark, who portrays Jesus as a servant, has no genealogy in it at all, because servants don't have genealogies. Slaves don't have genealogy. Why does Luke's gospel present him as the Son of Man? So they need to trace a genealogy that goes through the line of the throne presented in Luke, because he has to be the one that sits upon the throne of David. And then John, that presents Jesus as God. Isn't it interesting? His genealogy is found in chapter 1, verse 1, that the Word was with God and the Word was God. And verse 14 says, that Word became flesh and he lived among us. The genealogy of God is found in John 1, 1. All of those genealogies are based upon what's happening here. Watch with me. Obed, he's the father of who? Jesse, the father of David. Why does it say this? By the way, this was inserted later. This was inserted later by the author of the book of Ruth. Listen, Jesse, the father of David, the author would say, in fact, let me tell you the genealogy. Everybody needs to wake up and focus and be blessed, and you have your mind blown, I hope, if I do this right. Please, God, help me. I want you to listen to this verse, jot it down. Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy 23, verses 1 through 3. He who is emasculated by crushing or mutilation shall not enter the congregation of the Lord. Why did God say such a mean thing as this? Listen, this is so sad, but when Israel fell into pagan worship, to pagan gods, they did what those people did of those foreign lands. They dedicated their children to the pagan gods. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, their girls, their daughters would become prostitutes for those gods, and their sons would become eunuchs. By the way, that's a demonic attack to destroy the Jewish race, by the way. What do you mean? Because they would take that son, whenever they became converted to this pagan god or gods, they would take the little boy or the teenage boy or the man, whoever, in dedication to the pagan gods, they would take two platelets of stones and smash his things, crushing them or cut him off, and dedicate him as a temple eunuch to the pagan gods. Now, every guy in here is going, isn't that sick? God says, those who have been emasculated shall not fellowship with God's people. See, well, that's kind of a hard thing to say. What if you leave that pagan god? God says, if you've been emasculated, you shall not fellowship with God's people. That's what the law says. God's law says it. It has to be obeyed because the Bible says God's law is holy. And you say, well, this is getting kind of frightening. It gets worse. Deuteronomy 23, verse 2 says, nor one who is born of illegitimate birth shall enter the congregation of the Lord to the 10th generation. Illegitimate birth. We all know what that is. A child born out of wedlock to unmarried parents shall not enter the congregation of God's people to the 10th generation. You might say, my goodness, this is terrible. By the way, remember what the Pharisees tried to do to Jesus? They said, we know who our father is, but you. They were insinuating Jesus was illegitimate. Interesting, but listen. To the 10th generation, it gets worse. Verse 3, Deuteronomy 23. No Amorite or Moabite shall enter the congregation of the Lord's people to the 10th generation. Hey, Boaz knew this verse. What's the deal here? God's grace does not violate God's law. God's grace overrules God's law. What do you mean? Notice in Deuteronomy 23, verses 1 through 3, it says to the 10th generation. In your Bible, go back with me to verse 17. Obed. He's the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez? What is the, who, what's about who, Perez? What's this all about? Who's he? Listen, Perez was born illegitimately because Judah, remember his royal line is ordained by God to bring the king, the Redeemer, your Savior. Judah had a little hormonal rage one day. And there was a girl sitting alongside the road, and he went into her, and she got pregnant, and she bore a son. Well, little did he know that that girl, veiled as a prostitute, was his daughter-in-law, who was widowed. He wouldn't give his other son to her and carry on the lineage. So she had to veil herself and play the prostitute, and Perez was born out of illegitimate birth. Twisted. Isn't that like a total soap opera thing? It is. Why in the world would you start the genealogy of the Messiah with Perez? In fact, the Hebrews, they says, let's just sweep this guy out of the way, will you? Leave him alone. He was known as an illegitimate child in the nation. But the Bible says, oh yeah, hey, let's start verse 18. Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begat Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon. Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. You say, well, so what? Well, let's look at it this way. Verse 18, follow along with me, and you can even write it down if you want. Now, this is the genealogy of one. One begat two. Two begat three. Three begat four. Four begat five. Five begat six. Six, seven. Seven to eight. Eight to nine. Nine is one who begets 10, and 10 goes by the name of David. That's why in your Bible, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, says the scriptures, that Jesus is in fact the son of who? David. Jesus had to be the son of David. But wait a minute, it's a pretty shady past. Yeah, isn't it though? Oh, it gets worse or better. It depends if you can see yourself as a sinner needing to be saved or as a prideful one who will work your way or attempt to work your way into heaven. Listen to this. Four women mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the world, the universe, the Son of David, the Son of God. Four of them. You ready for this? One of them, her name's Tamar. That's the one who gave birth to Perez. Illegitimate birth. Yes, you might say, well, you know, she was trying to fulfill the word of God. That's true. She was. However, she's a Canaanite, and they were not to mate with Israeli people. There is Canaanite blood eventually flowing in Jesus' veins. How does God reconcile this? It's called grace, my friend. Rahab. You ever heard of Rahab from Jericho? She was a harlot. Her husband, by the way, was Salmon. We read his name here. Joshua 6. She's found in Hebrews 11 and the Hall of Faith. She was a hooker in Jericho, who got converted and married a Hebrew man, and from her eventually came, through her lineage, her family tree, Jesus Christ. Wow, I didn't know that. Well, the next one, the third one's Ruth. We all know about Ruth. She's a Moabite. No Moabite, Deuteronomy 23, verse 3, says, shall enter the kingdom, but thank God, what does it say, to the 10th generation? There's the fourth woman. Who do you think she is? She's a Hittite, for one thing. She's a Hittite. She's cursed by God. She's not to be living among God's people. Her name's Bathsheba. You ever hear of her? Bathsheba and David were married. And she produced a son by the name of Solomon. That's interesting. People, this Bible is so engineered, and so is your salvation. The book of Ruth ends with the name David. It's like, listen, I'm going to speak almost prophetically. You guys can see this, but soon God will be pulling back the veil of the eyes of the Jewish people. They're going to see who their Messiah is. They won't necessarily run to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Remember, they don't read the New Testament. What they're going to do is they're going to understand when they come to the book of Ruth that they need to keep their eye on the lineage of David. And boy, is it a shady past. And they're going to see, wait a minute, the lineage of David. To get David, we've got to go through Bathsheba, Tamar, Ruth, and Rahab. My goodness, these are Gentile women. Wait a minute, my goodness, you mean you're sharing with me, Christian friend, that in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, it speaks about the Christ being the son of David and coming through the lineage of these women? Yes, I am. You see how, Lord willing, their eyes will be open, says the Bible. They'll see. Where will it begin? Right here in Ruth chapter 4. This is the base, foundational truth for the genealogy. Well, what's so important about that? It proves that Jesus Christ is Messiah. Where was Jesus born? What little town? Oh, Bethlehem. Where was David born? Where was David raised? Where was David anointed king? Bethlehem. Where did Obed come out of? What does his name mean? Servant, out of Bethlehem. What about Boaz? His name means strength, mighty to save. Where did he come out of? What was his hometown? Bethlehem. The kinsman redeemer comes out of Bethlehem. Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. Incredible. That's a long ride on a donkey, by the way. From Nazareth of Galilee down to Bethlehem, it's a 2.5-week journey by donkey, they say. Can you imagine? Can you imagine pregnant like she was? Caesar makes his decree. You got to go to where you were born. Joseph was born in Bethlehem. Well, we got to go to Bethlehem. Okay, well, let's go. Can you imagine? Every 10 steps on it. Have you ever ridden on a donkey? They go like this when you're riding a donkey. It's not like wonderful riding a horse that glides along. Can you imagine Joseph pull over? I got to go to the bathroom again. Okay, get up. 10 more steps. I gotta go again. Can you imagine? It probably took him a month. The genealogy. I want to end with this. Get your pen ready and we'll close it up. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. What's important about a genealogy? Everything. Because Isaiah 44, verse 6 says, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Listen, and besides me, there's no God." How many gods are there? Shout it out if you know it.
One.
If there's one God, and he says of himself, "I am the first and the last," how many first and lasts can there be? Only one. Doesn't take, you know, much to figure that one out. Whoever the Redeemer is, he's God, and he's the only one. This is a wake-up call for some of us. Revelation 1:8 says, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord." Who is the Lord? The Lord is one. Who is he? He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Who is the Almighty, who is to come? That's the Lord, Revelation 1:8 says. Well, Revelation 1:11 says, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last." Who is? There's only one God. He's the Lord. He's the first and the last. Okay, no problem. Revelation 22, verse 13 says, "I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Lord." Okay, no problem here. We all understand this. Well, people, listen. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the ancient Old Testament prophet said this, "Keep your eye on Bethlehem." That's my phrasing. "O Bethlehem, though you are little among the cities of Judah, though or out of you shall he come forth to me who will be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, even eternally." Bethlehem was to give birth to a son who came out from God, who has never had a beginning or an end. He's eternal. That's exactly what Isaiah 9:6 tells us. That Jesus Christ is the eternal God. Do you see this? The importance of this? Jesus had to be the son of David because he had to die for man's sins. He had to be related to us, both Gentile and Jew. You see? But he also had to be the son of God because God had to die for us, not a man. Because there are no good men. Jesus died for us, and he's the eternal God. That's why the author of the book of Ruth seemingly randomly begins with Perez, as though it's almost a slap in the face. It's a message. It's a code. It's to say, look at this illegitimate son. Through him came the Messiah of the world. I tell you, we were baptizing at the Jordan River. And these things that we're talking about to me are so exciting. It reminds me, when we were there baptizing, we were standing there and going through it all, you know, and we had sang a couple praise songs. But you know what? A bus pulled up and dropped off some precious Christians that probably by their accent fellowshiped in the southern United States. They came down, and I got to tell you, these guys got out of their bus and they came down there, and that pastor opened up his Bible and he stood in the water and he said, "Let us pray." And we're going, "Wow, that guy's loud." And he said, "Lord Jesus, we come before you this day and we give you our lives, Lord." And it was like, I got goosebumps. They began to praise the Lord and we're all standing there. And I began to wonder, do I know the same God he knows? Because why don't we just pack up and move on over where they're at? I mean, it freaked me out. Lord God, we're in this water because thou hast died for us. And they're he's just, and I'm going, that's it, man, that's it. And we see, it's like, you know, I'm not saying we need to roll around in aisles, okay? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we need to start praising God for all the things He's done for us. We need to get, we need to get a little soul into our spirit. It was contagious because they were lifting up the name of our God. And I wonder if you would have walked up to Naomi and said, Naomi, how you doing? With all that's been going on, how are you doing, woman? She'd say, I'm doing fine by the grace of God, you know. Oh, I don't think she said, well, you know, God's good and we will worship the Lord our God and He alone is holy and we extol Thy name. I don't think so. I'm sorry. I am going. We have been bound in slavery of sin. You may be there today, not ever having Christ set you free. But if you have been set free by Jesus, then we need to let Him know. And we need to love Him like we mean it, you know. And we need to be so grateful for all that He's done. We need to read the book of Psalms with passion. And maybe we ought to get alone with God on a hilltop or in a closet or hide in the bathroom if necessary and read it out loud and worship Him who has redeemed us from our sins and has sent us one to die on the cross for us. Isn't that awesome that He'd love us so much? That no matter what your sin might be, you might be a Perez, you might be a David, you might be not the wonderful general, captain, king, and psalm writer, but the other side of David, an adulterous murderer. You know, where do you fit in? It is with pleasure that I say, Jesus, I know that I have sinned and I am in fact a sinner. And Lord, I thank You that in Your word, You accounted in Your family to include me in. I thank You, Jesus, for Tamar's. And I thank You, Lord, for Perez's and Bathsheba's and Rahab's. Where do you fit in?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a look at the Old Testament book of Ruth, and the final 10 verses of chapter 4, the last chapter. It's a presentation called Together at Last. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, we'll continue with more of the book of Ruth. The Old Testament narrative of Ruth meeting Boaz is truly a beautiful love story. But it's more than that. It's also valuable for many other reasons, which is why it is included in the Old Testament. So we're making available Pastor Jack's series through the book of Ruth on MP3 CD. Our offer is simple. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send it your way. Just ask for the Book of Ruth on MP3 CD. To get in touch with us here at Real Radio by telephone, our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the cost of a stamp, you can send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. You may also visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.